Blog Talk Radio.
This spirit of whoredom,
the most, this is what has us, this is truly what has us where we're at. Both men and women, as a people, you know, we can't, I'm looking at this and it, I'm going to deal with the men today, but I'm looking at this from the standpoint that, you know, the Most High has to show you things in bits, and sometimes you don't really know why he's showing you something. And then he puts it all together for you. Our people, well, before we get into this, let us go ahead. Let's pray in. Okay. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life. We thank you for health, and we thank you for strength. Father, we thank you for just even considering us and wanting us. Father, I don't know why, but I thank you for your faithfulness to us. Father, as we go forth today, be with us, enlighten us, open our eyes, let the scales drop from our eyes. Let us see how you see. Help us to heal. Because we are in need of your healing, and you are the only one that can heal us. These things I pray in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. This, you know, we need to deal with this as a people. We need to understand that how the Most High showed me this is that we are in this predicament because of being – because of spiritual whoredom. And because we committed spiritual whoredom over and over and over again, the Most High caused it to manifest on us as a people in the physical. So he actually turned us over to a reprobate mind. And this is what we got to understand. We are reprobate as a people. And this is a heavy saying.
Yeah.
But when I never read Ezekiel chapter 9, 8 and 9 the way that I've read them the past couple of days. And so, you know, we want to look at this thing and see the root cause. Because it affects both men and women. And we're going to, you know, like I said, I've been asking the sisters, hey, take a look at yourself. We cannot be as free sexually, immorally, but same way with the men. The men don't get a free pass on this. And this spirit that we are under causes us to disrespect ourselves and our people, having no honor, no integrity, going to the imagination, you know, whatever we can imagine in our own mind. And so this is coming from the spiritual world, and it's coming as a curse from the Most High because we committed spiritual whoredom on him over and over and over again, at least 20 times that I read in the scripture that he accuses us of doing this. And he turns us over to that spirit because we wanted to worship anything and everything, whatever we saw everybody else worshiping. So I'm going to, you know, I was going to go through Hosea and use this, but the truth of the matter is, I want to give an overview of Hosea. We're going to go to Ezekiel, and then we're going to come into the book of Romans so that we can understand this as a people and why we are going through these things. Okay? Let us go to, the Most High accuses Israel and says, accuses Israel of being a whore. And not only did he accuse Israel of being a whore, he said, you're a stupid whore. All the other whores get gifts from their lovers. You pay your lovers to come and sleep with you. So when he is accusing Israel of this, and you go back over and over and over again, that we as a people commit spiritual whoredom, our forefathers, over and over and over again. And so this, when we go to Ezekiel and when we read this, I want us to understand that Ezekiel is looking and he's in a vision. And in this vision, the Most High is showing him overall what Israel is doing, not just then, but in the future too, because he causes us to be this way. You know, it's just like when the Most High, when he speaks something into existence, when he speaks, it comes in to be about. When he pronounces a curse on you, it's going to come. And unless you repent of it, the Most High doesn't repent of it. He will allow it to consume you. So let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Okay. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of Yah Elohim fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness, as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of his hand, and took me by the lock of my head. Now, the Most High picked up Ezekiel by his hair, grabbed a handful of hair and picked him up because he's mad. And he's, through his anger, you know, Ezekiel's got to be, he's got to be very humble. You know, he is the prophet of the Most High, and the Most High is really kind of taking out his anger on him. Picks him up by the lock of my head. Now here, a lock is what? That's your a piece of hair, right? Even when we say dreadlock, this is your hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. Now, so there's something going on here in the temple that provokes the Most High to jealousy. And behold, the glory of Elohim of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. So he says the same vision I saw in Ezekiel chapter 1 and 2, and he describes the Most High. He says he's seen the same vision. This is the appearance of the Most High. Then he says unto me, son of man, lift up thine eyes. Now, the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, the image of jealousy in the entry. And he said, furthermore unto me, son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. Wait a minute, we're running the Most High out of his sanctuary? I can't be around this.
You put that in there.
But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination. And he brought me to the door of the court. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I dig in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. I went and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon a wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. In the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. So they are worshiping these things. Go to the book of Romans. We'll come back here. Romans chapter 1. And let's see if we can get past the introduction. Start at verse 13. That's still part of the introduction. Yeah, we'll just start there. We'll read down. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. You know, if you're there, say amen. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 13.
Amen.
All right, amen. All right. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, led, you know, round it up, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, when we read this coming up, well, I'll just explain it. For therein is the righteousness of Elohim revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness, because that which may be known of Elohim is manifest in them, for Elohim has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the Most High allows us, even through our vanity, to know of his nature, okay? Because when they knew Elohim, now who is they? Only you have I known. Who is he talking about? Israel.
What?
Only you have I known.
Wow.
He's talking about Israel. For when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, this is what we just read in Ezekiel. This is what the elders of Israel were doing. They had put these images of man, bird, four-footed beast, and creeping things on the walls of the temple, and they were worshiping them instead of the Most High. Wherefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, so this is speaking toward not only were they worshiping these false images, worshiping the creation, they were doing some things among themselves. So let's hear. Who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, what Amen. Did Most High do about this? For this cause, Elohim gave them up to vile affection, this spirit of lasciviousness, this wanting to always satisfy the flesh, looking for pleasure everywhere. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, how a woman does that, I don't know. Maybe they're seeking other women. But this is caused by... Right, this is caused by that. Amen. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense for their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So this spirit of whoredom is put on Israel because of Israel's spiritual whoredom with the Most High. He says, now I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. Now let's bring this forward a little bit. Because this is what got us scattered as a nation, kicked out of the land, put up under the other nation, and then in slavery, as we have read, this condition was magnified. We were already doing this stuff, but it was magnified in slavery. So the Most High said to the man, okay, since you have lost your way and you want to worship everything but me and you don't respect, you know, you're not respecting your women, you're running around trying to sleep with everything, let's go to Numbers chapter 25 for a minute and we'll come back. The book of Numbers, chapter 25. Let me make sure that's it. Okay, let's get verse 1.
Amen.
And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Now, the women ain't committing whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. The men are. And they're taking these women, and they want to take them for wives. And they are, what they are doing is, not only are they taking these women, I don't know what they're seeing in them, but they see something in them, but they also start worshiping their gods. And so by their physical whoredom with these women, they also started to commit spiritual whoredom, the men. And let's drop down to verse 6. No, let's keep reading. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of what? Their God. And the people did eat and bow down to their God, the gods of Moab. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of Yah was kindled against Israel. And Yah said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up. Cut off their heads and hang them up, all these people who are worshiping Baal Peor, before Yah against the sun. That the fierce anger of Yah may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay you every man, every one, his men, that were joined unto Baal Peor. Cut off their heads. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Why? Why are they weeping? Because they know they're in sin, and Yah is killing off everybody who went with Baal Peor, who started worshiping this god. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. This man who took this Midianite woman, who brought her in front of Moses, when the Most High has already said, these women that you are taking from the Midianites, they are causing you to go after another god, to commit spiritual whoredom against the Most High. And he was angry with them. So he says, everybody who did that, cut their head off. And put it over here where the sun goes down at. So whatever they were sitting them on, it was toward the west, because that's where the sun goes down. And then this man has the nerve to walk up in the camp with this Midianite woman after this judgment has been decreed. And so Phinehas goes after both of them and kills his brother, his fellow Israelite, and this Midianite woman. Now, over and over and over again, Israel did something like this. But they did it in a way that it was not only physical whoredom and the men chasing after these women from these other lands, but even when you go to King David, King Solomon, all of our brothers, they are, Solomon had, what, 700 wives, 300 concubines, all from different nations?
Yep.
And it caused them to, even him, to start serving these other guys, trying to please these women.
Yeah.
And so this is what the issue is with our men. Somehow we think that the women of these other nations are bringing us something that we don't have. And when they are doing that, they're also bringing their gods with them.
Mm.
Now, today, we are in an aftermath of this. We are in the actual result of these actions. So understand that if you go in and you look this stuff up, like through Hosea and what have you, all the other whoredoms that the Most High speaks about in the scripture are really spiritual whoredoms. Oh, you think that Egypt can protect you, so you run to Egypt for protection, and I kill all of you in Egypt. Or you think the Assyrians can protect you, so you run to Assyria for help, rather than counting on the Most High. They count on the Egyptians and the Egyptian gods, the Assyrians and the Assyrian gods. Over and over and over again, our forefathers committed spiritual whoredom to the point that the Most High just calls us, flat out, a nation of whores. This is our nature. We want everything but him. We think that we can get satisfied by everything but him. And we've always desired these things. And so he turns us over. Because we even bring it into his temple. This is my temple that you built for me, and you're going to have the nerve to start worshiping other things within my temple that you made for me? I'm going to turn you over to this reprobate mind. And you're going to be thinking that you're going to be wondering why you're this way, and you'll be thinking that you're doing right and that it's okay, and you're going to be justifying your actions, but you are reprobate. Let's go back to Romans chapter 9.
And that's my last time saying it to you.
Romans chapter 1, I mean. Let's read verses 20, start at verse 20 again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by these things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore Elohim gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. Now, this is coming from the Most High, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So not only are we running around trying to sleep with everything, now we got our women trying to sleep with each other, men sleeping with each other. And the Most High said from the very beginning, anybody that does those things should be what? Killed.
Dying.
but you turned us over to it. You changed the truth of Elohim into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, Elohim gave them up to vile affection. You want to be like that? I'm going to turn you over to it. This was what got us kicked out. We got to understand that. Now, as part of that judgment, we got to understand that as we go through this judgment, that other things that this true nature of this spirit is going to manifest itself. So Most High said, okay, since you want to act fours, both men and women, I'm going to make it to where you get treated like that. I'm going to make it to where you don't have a choice. I'm going to put another nation over you, and they are going to brutalize you. Even though he said they took it further than he wanted. So when we had our men torn apart, beaten before us, demoralized, so that the women could not believe in the men, it changed the nature of the woman, where she felt like she got to protect herself and be in charge, put her out in front. And this was done intentionally. And so the men were made docile, and the men were made to believe that all they are good for is breeding and working in the field. And, you know, when you are told that this is all you're good for, you try to become good at it. Because I need to have something that I can what? Believe in myself in. So the nature was, I'm going to bring you in and I'm going to have you lay with this woman. You're going to create this baby and then we're going to move you on. You're going to have no part in the child's life. You're going to have no part in her life. That is tearing up the family structure big time. And when you go through some generations of this, it becomes your nature. You start becoming this thing. And not everybody, but most of us, started to become this way. As a man, I can testify to what I saw as a child and the morals and the values that were passed to me through observation, not even necessarily from my father, but through observation and the world, the way we were as a people. As a young man, I was taught, you try to get as much as you can, and you know what I'm talking about. And whatever you had to say to them, to get them to do it, that's what you did. Now, it was never within me to want to make children and leave them. But to defile our women, to defile our women, to do, you know, to treat them.
Why are you going to the bathroom and get a towel? Don't put it on that. Then it's not nice on that.
We can hear you.
Yeah, Sister Mary. All right. So we as a people, as men, we were taught that, you know, the Most High had it. I'm going to turn you over to vile affections. I'm going to give you a reprobate mind. That reprobation is that we want to seek everything that's going to give us pleasure. And we think we can find it in all these other nations, in their women. And we got, you know, we really have no strong moral value. And I'm not saying this is an absolute for everybody, because there are outliers. When I'm talking about outliers, you know, everybody's not affected the same way. And some people come from under this before other people do. Just depends upon how they grew up and what they were exposed to. But the vast majority of our people were exposed to this in such a way that it just runs in the family. This spirit is passed from generation to generation. What a boy sees his father doing, that's where he gets his value from. Now, if we got generations upon generations of men that have been beat down, told that they're not anything, have not had to be involved with the family, because out of slavery, we brought this same spirit out of slavery where we sleep with the woman, she gets pregnant, and we're moved. We got no responsibility there. We're still doing that today. 98% in 1999, 98% of all Hebrew Israelite children were being born out of wedlock. That means that the man was dropping seed and not staying around. Or he was dropping seed and he wasn't legally married to this woman. And so it's not recorded that he's there, that he's the baby's father. Or it could be recorded that he's the father. All kind of different degrees of this in here. But the real truth of the matter is, we are dealing from a reprobate mind. We're not coming back to the Most High and living by his values. We're coming back to the Most High and saying, we're doing this and we want you to forgive us, but we keep doing it. Just as before, somehow we can't seem to stop. And so we're running from woman to woman, from relationship to relationship. Now, because this society and because of systematic racism, it has been harder for, I'm going to say, the Hebrew Israelite male to get up in this country. And when you are dropping babies, when you're just making babies, and you can't get a job, and you can't take care of home, then those that aspire to do anything, guess what they start going into? More debased things. Okay, let's be drug pushers. But we're going to have to peddle these drugs to our own people because they won't let us peddle them in the other neighborhood. I can't get a job. I need to eat. I got a baby. I got a family. I need to feed them. Then we started going down that road to other illicit behavior, other illegal and criminal behavior. And so we aspire to these things. Let me be the biggest drug pusher I can. Let me control this block. Instead of coming, because we weren't really being taught to come back to the Most High Elohim, that he is our fix. Over time, we have moved more into education, and more of us are educated, and we're able to get jobs, but that spirit of whoredom is still there. So, what do we do about that? Because this is where this is coming from. This is a reprobate mind. And we as men have to understand that from generation to generation, this has been passed on to us. And this is nothing against single mothers, but when a male grows up in a single mother family and his father wasn't there, what role, what example? This could have one or two effects. It can have the effect of, you know what? My father wasn't here. I turned out all right. If I make a baby, he'll turn out all right. Or it could make him super, super, I got to be there. I don't want my child growing up the way I did. Now, what about all the ones that he got pregnant, that it was just a lay? Was never any intentions of being permanently with this person. And it's probably from both ends. Doesn't have to be, but, you know, everybody in our society, in our mentality, every time a man and a woman come together, especially today, it don't necessarily mean they're coming together to start a family. It's just sex. And we have taken on that spirit from the nations, but then coupled that with the spirit of if you get somebody pregnant, if they, we're not committing to anything. And as I said, this is not an absolute for everybody, but this is the majority of us. This is what stats say. You can't, you know, you can look at the numbers and say, hey, I don't know everybody's family, and I don't even know if everybody that I know who is living together, if they're married. Don't know. But when the statistics say 98% of your children are being born out of wedlock, then I know that there is a lot of fornicating going on. And not only that, a lot of fornicating going on, but a lot of babies being made. And if the woman doesn't take the man to court to have him to pay for his child, chances are he's not having any input into that child's life. And so we have this repeated over and over and over again. So we as men, number one, first, we got to start looking at our women as more than just sex partners, somebody that we sleep with. And when I'm talking about sleeping with, I'm talking about screwing. Because, see, this spirit of whoredom has us to where we're chasing tail. Go out with the intentions of, this is what I'm looking for. And if she's willing, I'm willing. And if she happens to get pregnant, the stats say 9 times out of 10, he might be in the child's life, but he ain't going to be in his life or her life, not in the house. And then a lot of our brothers find that when they do this, and if the woman does take them to court and they end up having to pay child support, that when they do want to settle down, now they're taking care of two households. And the woman that they're with, you know there's going to be some animosity there because the money that you're making is going out over there, but you over here. It just compounds the situation. So the only fix for us, number one, if we as men don't realize and don't and are stuck in the world and we are not following the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High to the fullest with our whole hearts, if we're not committed to that, we're going to stay in this condition because this is as a result of us not doing it, of us worshiping everything up under the sun, even if we were doing it secretly. And that's what most of us were doing it secretly. This is what the Most High said. They're doing it behind closed doors. How many of us have relatives in the family that were practicing voodoo or witchcraft? Those things are in our roots. How many of us just didn't have no training at all? This is where we are at. And so as we have grown up and we want to do better, but we allow the flesh to rule us, and it is okay in our mind. So number one, first thing that we as men have to do, we have to acknowledge the sins of our forefathers. This is what got us here. Yah Elohim, our forefathers worship false gods. They committed whoredoms with other gods and other nations. We have counted on everything but you. We have to recognize that. And then we have to commit to not to do those things, that Yah might remove the curse from us. Because if not, we're going to continue to chase tail. And we're going to be trying to get up, you know, thinking that we can do better if we land with those of another nation. Because, you know, we're going to have to deal with this too. We do have a problem with our women. But that thing came out of slavery. And so we have to deal with it. Everything that we see moving, we can't want to sleep with it. Now, again, I'm not saying this is absolutely every man out there. I'm saying it's the majority of us. And with the Most High, all it takes is one. If we say we're his people, all it takes is one in the camp. Now, because we are taught by our parents, okay, and they were taught by their parents, and they were taught by their parents, or parent, whatever makeup of the household. We have to know that we're starting off on with corrupt values. We're starting off as dysfunctional. And so we have to stop the dysfunction. We have to recognize that the values and the core values and the way we were taught to deal with situations and our morals were probably not right. And even when we grow up, you know, I don't care what you learn when you grow up, there's certain parts of your childhood you don't let go of. You might change to a degree, but you're bringing some of those things with you. So we live in a society that is anti our God. And the reason that a lot of us may not want to leave here is because this actually is our nature. We like it here. This is the way Israel has been from the beginning. We conquer a people, we want to take their women, we want to incorporate them into our society, and then we start worshiping their gods as though there's something wrong with our God. And you want to know what it is? Our God holds us to a higher moral standard. These other people's gods allowed them to do, you know, they had gods where the ritual was to have sex. That was part of their ritual and part of their worship. Oh, we like that. Let's worship your God. My God says don't do that. But my nature inside of me says this is what I want to do. So we start chasing after their God. This is what we have been guilty of. And so we have to turn away from that. We have to recognize, you know what? I, as a man, had a whorish spirit, whoremongering, collecting women to myself that I only slept with, and if they got pregnant, then they were on their own. Because you know what? That's all it was sex. I wasn't trying to get have no baby. So what did we do when they came out with abortion? Then we feel right in line with it. We can do this. If you get pregnant, all you got to do is go have an abortion. Felt right in line with the spirits of the nation, but the Most High put this spirit on us and allowed them to magnify it through slavery. So we come out of slavery as men, and as women, women used to bring up the child by themselves, single mother household. Only difference is between now and then, you got to pay for your house now, whereas master provided it before. And we men, absent. Absent. Making babies and doing what we did during slavery, leaving it to the woman to raise. So, number one, we got to get rid of this mindset, and even with our sons. And it's going to be hard because we live in a nation where sexual freedom is just becoming more and more prevalent, even to it don't matter. You go, you know, they want to make it to where it's legal to sleep with a minor. If they are of the age, they say they're of the age that they can make a decision. There's no going to be no
That's
age
right.
limit. So we have to understand that we have to come up and bring ourselves to a higher standard. We have to say, no, this is wrong. And if we are serving, say we're serving the Most High Elohim, we have to come to his standard. And we have to hold ourselves to his standard. So, sister, if I'm not married with you, I'm not sleeping with you. I'm not sleeping with one of another nation either. If I'm going to do it, then I got to be married. Then I got to be honorable in this thing. And I got to treat the sisters with honor. Because we really have been treating them like whores. Just a piece of meat. Can't even have really an emotional relationship. Emotions? What are you talking about? But see, here is one of the other things that have come out of this. As the sisters have been able to take care of themselves, which they've been doing for the most part from the very beginning of us hitting the shore, as we came out of slavery and they were able to take care of themselves, well, if you already got your own car, your own house, if you're able to pay for everything yourself, then what then do you need the man for? So now we're looking for emotional support. I need you to care about me. I need you to love me. I need you to get to know me. This is what the sisters are crying for. I need you to appreciate what I'm bringing to the table. And it's hard for us to do that for the most part because we are emotionally detached, never taught to do it. Remember, that nature is to get you in the bed and, you know, whatever happens there. But then you as a person, most men ain't trying to go there. And you know what I'm saying is not a lot. Emotionally bankrupt. Most of us Yes, ma'am.
So by the brothers being emotionally bankrupt, is that why they beat on the sisters and call them bitches?
That is part of it. It really comes down to they're angry at you, too. They're angry because most of the sisters, I'm going to be real with you, okay? Most of our sisters are treating the men like they don't need them. So there's a certain amount of anger there as well. And if you're most emotionally not attached, and you got this standard of, I read the Bible, and the Bible said you're supposed to submit, and you're not submitting, then he thinks he got to beat you into submission like he does an animal. You got brothers that read the word, and they're trying to do better. But when your foundation is you didn't have a foundation, so you're trying to put a foundation up under you, and you read the word, and you read these things in the word that says that, oh, your woman's supposed to be in submission to you, and then you meet a woman or you marry a woman or you get with a woman and y'all start a relationship, and in the end she's not being submissive because she wasn't taught to be submissive. She was taught to be out ahead. And that's hard to change.
It's just messed up on both ends, ain't it, brother?
Yes, ma'am. It is. And so, but that's why I say we have to come back to Yah, both men and
Amen.
Women.
Amen.
And we have to understand that, hey, it's going to be hard because if I'm a woman and I've been providing for myself all this time, it's hard for me to submit to a man that doesn't even know really how to lead. He's faking the funk. He's doing what he thinks is right, but if he was never taught, you have to be taught how to be a man.
Amen.
Just like a woman really has to be taught how to be a woman.
Amen.
Amen.
And if we have never been taught, and if we had dysfunctional families, that's where we got our example from.
Ooh, I thank the Father for the mother and father I have. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, me too.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen, because everybody didn't grow up in functional families, even when the father was there, when there were both parents there. That wasn't always necessarily going to be a functional family. And the way that it did function, you might have had it better than some people. But trust me, there's some dysfunction there because we're a dysfunctional people.
Amen.
So from the man's point of view, we really need to come back to the Most High, to His statutes, laws, and His commandments, and understand Amen. That the reason that the Most High made the woman submit, I'm going to say this, ladies, don't get mad. But the nature that was in Eve wanted to be over Adam. She wanted to be wise. She wanted to be the one in charge. And the Most High saw that. And so he told Eve, I made you both equal. And when she had the knowledge of the tree, see, what we don't pick up on is we read that scripture in Genesis like these things happened, bam, 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 and there was no time. She went and ate from a tree, and then she gave to Adam. No, it didn't happen like that. It doesn't cover the time. The end result, she gave it to Adam, and he did eat. That's the overview. How much time went by? How much time did Eve have the knowledge of good and evil to talk to Adam?
Nobody knows.
To persuade him. We're not told that, are we?
No.
In the end, we're told that Adam wasn't deceived. He chose to do this with her. He knew what she was telling him was wrong, but he did it anyway. But she had a form of knowledge that he didn't have. So we're not told how much time went by, but the Most High said, here is the root issue. So you want to know what was wrong? Look at the discipline that he applied. If my discipline is not to punish you or to kill you, then it has to be to what? Correct you. So if this is your nature, to want to be out in the lead, to want to be the head, to want to be in charge, now you got to submit yourself to fix that. So the very thing that was wrong with Eve in slavery, they magnified that because what they did was reverse the relationship and put the woman in charge. through fear. And so, you know, I asked the women a while back, if you were in this situation and your mother taught you, because she had been conditioned, and she taught you, if Master comes in here and he wants to do this, then you just, you might as well go ahead and get with the program. And whoever he sends in here, if this is what they want to do, you might as well get with the program. Because you want your daughter to survive. You know that if she don't come, if she don't submit,
wait.
Then Master might beat the crap out of her or kill her. So it becomes a survival technique. But if we, the Most High says that this nature was there, this nature was in Eve all along to be out front. She wanted to be that way, so the Most High, through slavery, put that nature back, and he magnified it. So we need to understand that. From the sex point, the gender standpoint, we are all sick. But the Most High gave us a reprobate mind. And we got to understand what that reprobateness is. And we have to repent. So the subject is the men today. Brothers, we didn't come out of, 9 times out of 10, we did not come out of emotionally functional families. And more than likely, 9 times out of 10, if we had a father in the house, more than likely he was not emotionally functional either. My father was an alcoholic. He came in drinking, drunk, wanted to beat on my mother, beat on the kids, just crazy stuff. And when you grow up and that is the norm, that's what you know, you can look at things and say, hey, each child adapts to that in their own ways, and they have their own, depending upon what their experience was, have their own views of what that looked like. And they will react, both men and women, out of that. So for me, you know, I can talk about me. I didn't grow up in everybody else's house. But my father would come in, and he was this type of person. He was very intelligent. But he had raised himself from the time he was 14. And some woman, he said it was a white woman, took him in at 14 and raised him. Now, I don't know what she was doing with him. Everything could have been on the up and up. Or she could have been using him sexually. Don't know. Only thing I know is that he was a woman chaser. Got his money. After he retired, got his money one time a month, and he was out at the bar, spending it on other women, not even taking care of home. So how each one of his offspring came out, only they can tell their story and how it affected them. But I know what I was taught was, number one, as a man, chase women. And number two, now this is where, you know, it affected me different. I did not want my children to want and lack for what I lacked, what I felt like I lacked. And so I made sure myself that, you know, I was going to be able to provide for them. Are they still the happiest children in the world? No, they think that I abused them, and I really didn't whip my children. So I know from a child perspective, everybody's going to always have what their vision of what they think is perfect. what they think is right. Until they get into the situation where they are raising children, until they get into the situation where they have to work, because they gotta have, you know, you gotta have money to live on. Until you get into the situation where, you know what, I gotta put in these long hours to make sure that we got a roof over our head. Well, you can't come to this game? No, I can't come to this game right now. I gotta make sure that, you know, we're just over broke. I got a job and we're just over broke. I lose my job. What are we gonna do? So I understand that, you know, each child is going to see their childhood differently. Now, the values that I instilled in my children, do they have godly values? Yes. Do they have their own businesses? Yes. Even though, you know, they go to work for somebody, but their ultimate goal is to have their own business, like Daddy did. And they see the struggles now, that it ain't easy having your own business. Businesses just don't come and jump in your lap. Customers just don't come and jump in your lap. So they understand more so now. But the truth of the matter is, because of the way that I saw myself before I came to the Most High, not before I knew that I was a Hebrew Israelite, but before I came to the Most High, two different things. I've always taught my sons and my daughters, it was my preference that you don't have sex until you're married. Now, I can't control you. I'm not going to be running around here, you know, trying to see everything you're doing. When you were young, I did. I mean, my kids, especially my oldest daughter, like, she was just totally mad because I could see everything they did on their computer. And if they were doing anything that they weren't supposed to be doing on their computer over the internet, they got a visit. What are you doing? What do you mean? I'm not doing. What are you doing? So they felt like they were being spied on. I said, you are being spied upon. I told you from the very beginning. I can see everything you do. So don't be doing stuff you ought not do out here. If you're talking to somebody over your computer, I'm seeing the conversation. And if it's with somebody that I think is inappropriate, I'll put an end to it. So those types of things, you know, my kids hated that. But I tell them, I say, hey, I can't know what I know, and I know how people are out here on this internet, and let you just be out here unprotected. I'm not going to interfere, not going to let you grow up, but they got predators out here. They got men that pretend that they're your age, and then you call yourself going to meet them and find out that he ain't your age. Those types of things. So we got to understand as men, this spirit of, this reprobate spirit will cause you to run around. Your woman could be doing everything, and somehow you still got that desire, that need to go sleep with somebody else. Because that is what has been honed into you. That is what has been passed to you. That is what all the other fellows are doing. You know, and if you were doing this before you got married, it's awful hard to stop. If that was your nature, to run around and to sleep with women and to get women to sleep with you and do whatever, it's hard to even stop that even when you get married. It's hard to stop that because it's your way. And a lot of our people don't understand that this spiritual reprobateness that the Most High put on us, that was magnified through slavery, that as men, we run around and sleep with everything and have no responsibility. That thing was magnified coming out of slavery. And because the women through slavery, coming out of slavery, because they also had been conditioned, when they came out of slavery, do you think that if you have the morals, and again, as I said, this is not absolutes, this is not everyone, but this is the majority of our people, and this is why we are in the position that we are in. If it's okay to sleep with somebody before you're married to them, and the man's got the nature that all he wants to do is sleep with you and don't want to be married to you, then you're going to have multiple partners. Because if you got the, if you have the value, the moral value that you can sleep with a man before you're married to him, and all the man has the value is that he's looking to sleep with you and not be married to you, then you're looking for love in all the wrong places, in all the wrong ways. Because his nature is, what he's been taught, what's been, you know, they say there are things that are generational, like the hurt and the pain and the psychological trauma that we went through as a people passes, it becomes hereditary. How does it become hereditary? Because it's taught from parent to parent, parent to child, parent to child, parent to child. Whatever dysfunction your parent has, they're going to pass to you. That's all they know. They're passing to you what they know, and what you feel is right out of that, you might modify something because you don't agree with it or you agree with it. I agree with this value. I don't agree with this value. So I will adjust my morals based upon that. But if our morals are not based upon the Most High Elohim and his standards, then they're based upon what we think is right. And this is where we find ourselves at. Well, I'll be a good father, and I'll take care of my children, and I might have one or two women on the side. That's the mentality. And a lot of men do it. Not everybody, but a lot of our men do it. And we, you know, we're like, that's why we got so many divorces. We're not looking at the root cause. The root cause is Israel, you committed spiritual whoredom. Your forefathers committed spiritual whoredom. Because they committed spiritual whoredom, the Most High put the spirit of whoredom on you, on us, on their descendants. And then I'm going to make this thing so that it's condemning to you. Because let me say this right now. Don't matter how you got that nature, just understand that it is sin. And the Most High's word concerning that sin is going to stand. So if he caused you to have a whorish spirit, it was so that he could condemn you, so that he could condemn us. You have played the whore. Now I'm going to cause you to have a whorish spirit so that I can condemn you for your whoredom. Not only you, but your descendants. Let us hear this. So we men are running around treating our women like whores. Let me sleep with you and not be married to you. Let me lie to you and tell you if we sleep together, we marry. And emotionally and mentally, you may say, I'm married to this man. And he may say it as well. But he never really did the things to marry you. We got that going on. I'm talking about widespread. I've had more than one sister tell me this. I'm like, wow. And what ends up happening is we have no system in place. No system in place. Because we didn't handle this legally through the world, and we don't have a legal governing body amongst ourselves, everybody doing their own thing, making up their own standards. So when the relationship don't work out, and this brother say, I'm putting her away, or we're splitting apart, she says she's leaving, then there's really no legal structure there to say, okay, this is how we're gonna take care of this. You're going to have to pay me X amount a month, or however the case be. We are just A lot of these sisters just find themselves just out there. And they're going to do what is spiritually in them to do. And I'm going to say this way. I'm going to find me another man. If she ain't got enough to pay the rent, if she don't have enough to live the lifestyle that she wants to live, I'm going to find another man that's going to help me out with this. And then we don't look at what the Most High says is adultery. And by the time we do look at it, it's way too late. His standard don't change. And what we did is we can't come from under it. We just have to repent and tell him that, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. Because we find ourselves in situations that, morally speaking, because we are reprobate, when we try to come back in line with the Most High, we find that we are in opposition. I didn't know I was an adulterer. I didn't know I couldn't do this. That's coming from that spirit of reprobate, and that's coming from that spirit of whoredom that the Most High put on us because we as a people committed spiritual whoredom against him 22 times. Well, let's say I found it once where he said it to us because of the women, but spiritually, 22 times he accused our forefathers of whoring on him with other gods, with other nations. So his verdict was, because you have this spirit on you, because you want to do these things, I'm going to give you that reprobate mind and that spirit to do these things, and I'm going to send you into slavery, and I'm going to magnify it. I want to make it to where, you know what, this is just going to become you. I gave you statutes, laws, and commandments that were to keep you out of this. But over and over and over again, you wanted to keep doing it. So now let me send you into slavery, and let me put another nation over you, nations really, over you, who know what your laws are. They knew who we were when we didn't know who we were. Now let me ravish your women. And I'm gonna justify it in my mind by saying you ain't really all human. You're just three-fifths of a person. This is what the justification was in their mind. So I can do these things to you. I can kill you with impunity. I can go in and sleep with your women and not feel any moral obligation to them at all. Matter of fact, I'm going to use it to my good because I just need to increase my slave force. And then if I'm of the mindset that, you know what, I don't sleep with anything lesser than me, then I'm going to just bring in other slaves. And whomever I tell you to sleep with, that's who you're going to sleep with. And you're going to produce these children. And I'm never going to let him stay around so that you can feel like you got a family. So that you can feel like, you know, hey, we can uprise. We can take over. No, I'm going to move the male someplace else. And he going to never really even know that he got a baby. But this is what he's being used for. So when he comes out of slavery, this is the spirit that he has on him. And this is the spirit that he will pass to his male children if he stays in a relationship. We got to understand this. So we have to come back to the standards of the Most High Elohim. And we have to be saying, hey, you know what? I can't sleep with everything. I have to get away from that. Because this is the nature of that reprobate mind. This is the punishment that the Most High put on us. You want to be a whore? I'm going to make you a whore. So we have to repent for the sins of our forefathers. This is why Israel is Israel and why Israel has to repent for the sins of their forefathers. You can't repent for something if you don't know what it is. First of all, you can't repent for it if you don't know if you're the people. Secondly, you got to know what it is that they did that you need to repent of. Sharon, please turn that off. Too loud. I know, but it's too loud. We got to know that this is where we're at. We got to know that if we don't come back to the Most High, if we don't come back to his statutes, his laws, and his commandments, if we don't come back to just worshiping him and only him with our whole heart, that there is no fix for us. We will run around in this reprobate spirit, in this reprobate mind, and we will continue to pass it along to our children from generation to generation. So we have to be saying, I have to be different. As a man, I have to say, I have to stop that. And I can't be looking at our sisters as just sex objects or just as financial partners, what she can bring to the table financially. Because a lot of our brothers be using our sisters that way. They having a hard time. They don't know how to manage their money. Always in debt. And not taking care of business. But have no emotional tie to their mate or to their spouse at all. Except for, I don't want her to disrespect me. See, one of the things I still do sometimes listen to Miles Monroe, and he's real good. And I recommend all of you, don't go and look at his earlier theory when he was actually, quote unquote, in the church. But look at his series after he came out of the church, after the Most High started dealing with him in these things. We are, we're emotionally bankrupt from both men and women's positions. And the men don't know how to be men because, truthfully speaking, the women don't know how to let the man be a man. She was never taught that. Out of slavery, she was taught that she needs to be the lead. And so even if he's trying to be the head, he's going to bump heads with her. So the women also need to come back to that position and realize, you know, the willingness document really told us what the fix was. This is what we did to you. We reverse roles where your woman feels like she has to be in the lead and the man is in subjection. We destroyed the family structure. And you won't let your man be the lead. If he's not doing it exactly the way that you want it done or you know how to do it, then you will try to take control. Or you will beat him down. This came out of slavery. So So we got men that don't know how to lead, and if they try to lead because they weren't taught how to lead, but they're trying to lead based upon what they've learned and what they've read and yada, 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 then they're not going to be perfect at it. Some things only come by experience. No child comes with a manual saying, this is how you train this child. This is how this child needs to be trained. You got to look at them. You got to see how they react, what their abilities are. Every child don't think the same. Every child don't need the same, have the same requirements. The same way with the marriage. And because we are spiritually dysfunctional, morally dysfunctional, because we're that way, we're going to have a lot of dysfunction within the relationship. And so you have to start over. You have to make a conscious decision to start over and make the Most High our standard. These are the things that got us kicked out. These are the things that got this curse put on us. The spirit of reprobation. So we are good. Whatever the nations want to do, we're good with it because we are reprobate. We have to accept that because you can't get better until you accept what's wrong with you. And once we can accept that, then here's our fix, because we know what we're fixing. So the first spirit we need to fix and we need to work on is this spirit of whoredom in our men and in our women. And how do we do that? Men, don't be sleeping with everything, and don't be trying to make our sister sleep with you. Even if she came up to you butt naked, you got to know that, you know what? That leads to death. So, sister, I can't do that. And I pray that, you know, I'm able to bring you out of this spirit if you're willing to sleep with me and we're not married. If you think that's okay, then I also need you to have a change of heart and a change of spirit that, because what I'm going to do is not trust you. Let's just be real. If you got this spirit that you can sleep with me before we're married, then I got this spirit, my understanding, that you can sleep with somebody else. And none of us are, I don't think we're under the illusion that most of our women today are virgins. That has got to change too. We have got to pick up with the next generations, and for most of the next generation, it is already too late. So we really, really going to have to start with the children, because the truth of the matter is, today, if a girl is past the age of 12 and a boy too, some younger, but 12 years old, they've already been sexually active. I have to make a conscious effort that we are going to stop, and we're going to, you can teach it to the next generation. They probably are not going to want to hear you, but your grandchildren, you need to be involved with their lives. If the Most High chooses not to come back in this generation or the next, we have got to pick up the mantle to teach our youngsters, the next generations, you can't be this way. This is what got us into this situation. We have got to learn how to be partners, equal partners. This is the way the Most High made it from the beginning, equal partners. And the only reason that he told the woman to submit is because Eve wanted to take over. But if the woman can understand that she needs to be an equal partner in the relationship, and she can have an input, but she shouldn't be trying to take over. Because that's the woman's nature, and that's what the Most High was trying to fix. That's what why he told the woman to submit herself. Your natures you want to take over, submit yourself. We need to bring that out of you. Because Adam was a meek man, just like Moses was a meek man. And I don't know, maybe it's a female thing, maybe it is a Hebrew Israelite thing, but I don't think it is. I think it is a male and female thing. If a female perceives that a man is meek, that he may also be weak. And that is not the case. Shouldn't be the case. So men, for those that are listening, for those that may listen to this afterwards, as men, we are supposed to be the head. And as the head doesn't just mean that you're in charge and you give orders, but we have to also be spiritually well, mentally well, and be able to approach our women as though they're not lesser than. Because this is what a lot of our brothers want to treat our women like, they're lesser than. And she's never been lesser than. From the very beginning, when the Most High created us, he created us male and female. He created us equal. Now, the Most High has placed the man in charge. And if you disobey, you're not disobeying your husband. You're disobeying the Most High Elohim. Because he gave that commandment to you to submit. That hasn't changed. If the man realizes the situation, then he's not going to try to treat you as a lesser than. If he finally grows up, he matures. He's not going to try to treat you as a lesser than, as his personal slave. But you also have to allow for him to learn to be in that position. You also have to learn to allow for him to make mistakes without you beating him down. And he has to be willing to take advice from his woman. If you know that this woman loves you and she married you because she loves you and she wants the best for both of you, you need to be able to learn to trust her in her word towards you, towards you and the family. We have to start making those emotional commitments. Learning about each other. This is the only thing that will bring us out of this. Taking the standards of the Most High, making them our standard, having the integrity that I'm not going to go and sleep with everything, both men and women, and that we are committed one to another and to the Most High. Because when we divorce, the Most High says he hates that. He hates it with a passion. And we dishonor him when we do that. This is what I don't think a lot of us are still realizing. We dishonor the Most High when we get into relationships and we don't stay in them. When we feel like we can get into a relationship and jump back out if we fall out of love, or we don't feel like the person is treating us the way that we want to be treated. Understand that we are both sick. And the way that he is treating you or the way that you are treating him comes out of this spirit. And if we can both realize that we're sick and that we both need help, then perhaps we can learn that we can help each other. As I said, if we don't do this, if we don't learn this, if we're not able to transmit this to the next generation, we will be raising another generation of whores, male and female. And not only physical whores, but spiritual whores, because they will take to, they will believe according to what the world says. Because it's not our nature. We have proven it is not our nature to want to serve one God. It is not our nature to want to serve the God that says, hey, you shouldn't be sleeping around. You shouldn't be doing these things. You shouldn't be eating these animals. You shouldn't be doing all these things that the world is saying that it's okay to do. We want to go run after everything else, and that's what's got us here. So if you say, if you claim that you are a Hebrew Israelite, if you claim that you are a child of the Most High and your descendants, your ancestors, I said that wrong, your ancestors are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, then your standard must be the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, period. And where you find yourself out of line with that standard, you need to bring yourself back in line with the word of the Most High. And you have to just be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. Because can't nobody make you do it. Can't nobody watch you 24/7 and say, hey, can nobody do it for you but you? The Most High says, confess your sins, confess your faults one to another. Why? Why do we need to confess our faults one to another? So that we can hold each other accountable. We don't want to be accountable. We don't want to be held accountable. Who are you? We want to look and see, oh, you've got a worse problem than I got. But if we are holding each other accountable for our own good, then this is what also will help us. I got this problem. Are these things going to change overnight? Absolutely not. But you have to make the commitment. And you have to make the commitment to work at it. You have to make the commitment and understand, I'm no longer going to be a whore, male or female whore. Because if you want to put that label on the woman, but we have been that way as well, men. All we got to do is look at our ancestors, our forefathers. So let's bow our heads. Father Yah, our forefathers committed spiritual wickedness, spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication. Oh, wait a minute, let me stop. Let me give you a couple of definitions that you can go by. See, you can fornicate with another God, love the Most High, but you're still fornicating with another God when you pick up that horoscope. or you call 1-800-PSYCHIC. That's fornicating, because you haven't had a change of heart toward the Most High, but you are doing these other things that he has said not to do. That's fornicating. That's spiritual fornication. That's having sex outside the marriage. That's what fornication is. So let's understand that. Fornicating is having sex with someone that you're not married to. That's fornication. When you are picking up these things and relying on these things to determine what your future is, to determine what decision you should make, and you're not taking it to the Most High, you are fornicating with these things. I don't care if it's a Ouija board or a horoscope or a psychic hotline or any other thing like that. You're saying you're worshiping the Most High, but you're doing this and you're committing spiritual fornication. When you commit spiritual adultery is when you have a change of heart toward the Most High. I'm going to go serve over here, and I'm not going to serve the Most High. I think this over here is better. Now you've had a change of heart toward him, and you are an adulterer. So understand those two terms. Our forefathers committed spiritual adultery. They turned away from the Most High. They were fornicating with these other things, worshiping these creatures, worshiping other men, worshiping the sun, the stars and the moon, worshiping other gods. They were fornicating, but then when they turned away from the Most High, they became spiritual adulterers. So understand that. Heavenly Father, we are your people. Father, our ancestors did wickedly before you. And you said that we had to acknowledge what they have done. Father, they committed spiritual whoredom against you several times. And in the worst way, they took the things that you provided them and they used them to worship other gods. Like a man providing for a woman and she go and entertain another man with what this man just gave her. And you said it was wickedness at the highest level. And we didn't do this just one time. They did this over and over and over again to the point that you had to kick us out of the land seven times. And you kept forgiving us and bringing us back, Father, hoping that we would straighten up, that we would stop our whorish ways to the point that you kicked us out of the land and sent us into a reprobate mind and a reprobate spirit. Father, we acknowledge today what our forefathers did and how they cheated on you, and how you caused that spirit to come upon us to become part of our nature. So, Father, we repent for the sins of our forefathers. We are sorry, Yah, that they treated you the way that they treated you. We are sorry that over and over and over again our forefathers have let you down. But, Father, we see and we understand that we have been affected by their sin. So, Father, we ask that you would forgive them their sin and forgive us our sin that we inherited, Father, that we continue to perpetrate even today. We repent of them. We will not openly or secretively, accidentally, fornicate with any other god. Anything that we might make a god in our own mind, it is to you and to you only that we will look. It is to you and to you only that we look to provide for us, to take care of us, to secure us. We won't play around with any of this mess because it offends you. And we do not want to offend you, Father. Father, we will not commit spiritual adultery. We will never turn away from you to another Elohim, to another God. We will never abandon our commitment to you. It is you and to you alone that we belong. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us. We are so tired of being in this position that all we do is wickedness. When we try to do good, we do wickedness. Father, we just want to do good according to your standard. Father, please remove this spirit, this curse from us. We petition you even right now from the position, from the heart of humbleness, from a heart of meekness, not being proud and puffed up and thinking that we're all that in a bag of chips. For we are nothing. It is you who establishes us as anything. You are our righteousness. We are not right in and of ourselves, but the fact that you chose us. You are our righteousness. You are our glory. You are our power. You are our foundation. It is upon you that we stand. It's upon you that we will count on. Father, from this time forward, as we conform to what you have said, remove this thing far from us, that we might be the light of the world, that we might be a light unto the world and a light unto our people. Help us to help our people understand why we are in this position. Help us to help them come from under it, that you might remove the curse from them as well. As many as you should call, Father, that your perfect will be done. And if your answer is no, Father, we will still serve you with everything in our being. You deserve no less. We are committed 1,000%. We ain't going nowhere else. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if there are any questions, any comments, because I'm going to ask you all, to not only just take a vow, but I'm going to ask you, I'm going to write up a vow that you are willing to commit to, that you don't just do this thing, that you don't just worship the Most High from your lips, but that we do this thing from our heart and that we are willing to commit to it in writing.
Okay.
Because see, we have to commit. We have to have something that we are going to hold ourselves accountable to. If you are not married, you're going to take a vow of celibacy. until the Most High makes it where you can be married if that's your desire? Or are you going to be that holy person to him from now on? You can't just be going through the motions. We have to make that promise to the Most High. And if you make that promise to him, then surely you won't break it. Surely you won't break it. Can we be that committed? Because the bottom line is, if you're not that committed, then you might as well just keep on doing whatever it is that you were doing. And the end is already written. Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, and we'll close this out. The book of Ezekiel chapter 9. So I'm going to show you the end of all this if we don't change. Start in verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 9, starting in verse 4. If you have, you say amen.
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 And Yah said unto him, go through the midst of the city. Now, let me go up. Let me start in verse 3. My bad. Because we need to understand who's doing this. Verse 3. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And Yah said unto him, go through the middle of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh. These men are, their heart is heavy because of what's going on, and that cry for all the abominations that were done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said, in my hearing, Ezekiel saying, he told these other men this in my hearing. I could hear what he's telling them. Go you after him, the one that's marking the people that are crying out against these abominations. Go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. So these ones that he's sending to kill, he said, don't have no pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. So if we don't repent, if we don't turn from our wicked ways, if we don't start crying out about these things to our children, to the world, to our people, when judgment comes, understand you're not going to escape. Because if you're not doing these things, if you're not committed, you're not going to be sealed. You're not going to be marked for the Most High. It don't matter whether you a man or a woman or a child. The sentence is death. So we have to commit to the Most High Elohim. And we have to cry out about these things, and we have to tell our people. We have to give them the root cause. This is why you're doing what you're doing. You are reprobate. You have been given the spirit of whoredom that the Most High might judge us. And whosoever will, don't worry about whether they receive it or not, because you got to just do your job. You can't change anybody's mind. They have to hear it and want to change for themselves. But you have to tell them. So I'm going to, as the Most High puts it on my heart, I'm going to write this promise that we are going to make to the Most High. And I pray that you commit to it. And if you don't, let me know, because I'm going to act accordingly. I'm not in this to play. Not in this to play.
I know.
We have to be real with the Most High Elohim. And we have to be committed to him. And if you can't make a promise to him that you will not break, don't take the promise. I'm telling you now, don't take the promise, because it will be worse off for you. So don't just do it just to do it. But if you are serious and you're going to hold yourself accountable, and when you get weak, you want help, you want to know somebody's in it with you, then that's what we are all here for. So I will write this up, and I pray that you are able to commit to it. Because, like I said, I'll just give you my story real quick with cigarettes and alcohol and that kind of stuff. Couldn't quit. Wanted to quit and couldn't quit. Didn't love myself enough to quit. But I've always feared the Most High Elohim. I didn't always know what to do that was right, but I always feared him. So I made a promise to him. Let me go 3 days and I will not go back. He let me go 3 days and I ain't never been back. You got to have that commitment. You make a promise to him, an oath to him. Understand that this is not something that you're going to do lightly. And as we learn to do better, we're going to take oaths to do better. We're going to make promises to the Most High Elohim that we are going to keep. So with that being said, may the Most High Elohim encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Remember, I love you, but Yah Elohim loves you more. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's time to get into formation, we gotta get ready for the battle. So call on your brothers and sisters, we gotta turn back to the scriptures. Stop making it all about you, them preachers, they got it confused. Come out of her, cause Yahuwah is our deliverer. Don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. Lace up them boots, we gotta move, step mode, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise, open your eyes to the Most High in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. It's a spiritual combat, it's a spiritual combat. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers.